Hallelujah. This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Call me good. Oh, thanks. It's the wrong answer, though. Or maybe it's not. I used to debate with my friends. We'd have, you know, as kids, young people growing up, figuring out the world, do you have philosophical conversations? You're trying to figure out life. What is love? What are we as people? Are people inherently good? Are people inherently evil? Are we somewhere in the middle? In these conversations, there was always something in me that was unsettled by any answer that we might come up with. When my kids, who are here front and center now, are playing, there's something that they will do. It'll usually start with Eden, though sometimes Josephine takes the lead. They try something a little new. Maybe it's going down the slide by themselves. Maybe it's drawing a picture of something. Maybe it's putting train tracks together in a certain way. And they'll say something along the lines of, "Dad, look at me. Look at me. Daddy, look at me." They want some acknowledgement. They want some encouragement. They want a loved parent to see them and call them good. And then, inevitably, when one kid gets attention, the other one notices, and they want to do that too. "Wait a minute. My sibling got attention. I need to do that thing. I need to do that. I need to know that I'm good. I need to hear those words. I need my beloved parent to see me and love me and tell me I'm good too." The rich man in the story, who in other gospels we are told is a young man, has grown up As probably a Pharisee, from what we are told about him, he is someone concerned with keeping the commandments that are in the Torah, keeping the commandments of God. He has dedicated himself to keeping these commandments. He is wrapped up in keeping them, and he comes to Jesus thinking he's been doing a pretty good job. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life, good teacher? I've kept all these commandments since my youth. You shall not murder, commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother. I have dedicated my life to keeping these commandments. I've done it, right? Tell me I'm good, good teacher. Tell me I'm good. Notice me." We don't know much about this man from before this encounter. We don't know much about this man after this encounter. We know that in this moment, he comes to Jesus, kneels down before him, raises his hands up, puts his face down, and asks for some love. Asks for some attention. Asks for somebody to tell them that that they're proud of him, that he's doing a good job, to keep going. Jesus doesn't quite do that. Jesus takes this response from the young man and says, what's going on here? Why do you call me good? And this is a curious thing for Jesus to say, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is demonstrably good. Jesus is good by any measure. Whatever it is that you would measure goodness by, Jesus would certainly fit into that category. He has healed people. He has fed people. He has cared for people. He has talked for people. He's spoken up for those who are oppressed. He has put himself in harm's way. Jesus is someone who does not live on his own terms. He lives for the sake of his neighbors. And Jesus, by all measures, is good. And yet he says, "Whoa, why are you calling me good?" This is a curious thing for Jesus to say. But goodness is a curious thing. We use goodness, that word, that idea, in so many different ways. Well, maybe primarily two. We use goodness as a measure of achievement. We know we're good when we win. I know that my Huskers in Nebraska, my beloved college football team, are good this year, at least better than last year, because they have won more games. They've scored more points. They have been better against their opponents. I've converted her. I know this because when they achieve, it's good. We often use goodness as a measure of achievement. We know we've done a good job when we get the promotion. We know we've done a good job when we get an A on the test. We know we've done a good job when our bank accounts are flush, when our bills are paid without worry, when our tables are laden with much food. We know we've done a good job when we have nice cars and nice houses and all of these good things, right? Goodness is something that we can achieve. At least that's what we think sometimes. And when Jesus heard this question from the young man, "Teacher, good teacher, what must I do to inherit, to deserve eternal life?" Jesus knows in his words that he is seeing goodness from this way, that goodness is an achievement. But if goodness is an achievement, if goodness is something that we are able to get to, Then going back to that initial conversation, that philosophical discussion with my friends, then are people good? Maybe a couple. Maybe a few. But when you look at the world as a whole, when you look at the ways that we snipe at each other, argue with one another, belittle each other, hurt each other, when you look at the ways that nations bomb one another, look at the ways our society doesn't value human life, but looks at profits instead, it is difficult to say that humanity as a whole is good. If it's an achievement, it's an ephemeral one. It's one that we might be able to hold on to for a moment, but then as soon as the next day comes, as soon as the next stressful event pops up in our life, slips through our fingers. And goodness just melts away in the anger of the moment, in the frustrations that we feel, in the grief and the need to lash out because we've been hurt. Goodness slips away. Jesus sees this young man looking at goodness as an achievement and knows that as long as he sees goodness as something that he can achieve, he will never have it. Martin Luther went through this struggle himself. Martin Luther was a man who yearned and ached for those words of approval and encouragement, for those words that released him from the guilt that he felt in his life, yearned and ached for those words from his confessor, that you are forgiven, that God forgives you, God looks upon you with mercy and love, your sins are absolved, your sins are forgiven. Martin Luther would ache for this moment of forgiveness, this word that he was good, that he was deserving of something good in his life. He would ache for that so much that he would spend so much time in confession. He would confess his sins for hours, thinking of every little thing that he did, every little thing that he thought, and to the point where his confessor, priest, got tired. It was like, Martin, go out and actually do something worth confessing. I've got other things I gotta do. He didn't quite say that last part, but I know he thought it. Martin Luther went on pilgrimages to know that he was good. He went and gave his life and his body to the church to know that he was good. And what he found in all of that seeking was that it never stuck. It was never lasting. When goodness is an achievement that we achieve, it is ephemeral. And yet, Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" And this rich young man needs to hear that word of pride, that you are good. And if he remembered his Torah, if we remember our scriptures, which are the same, then we would remember that the first word that God spoke over humanity after creating them was, "This is very, very good." God formed us in their image. In the image of God, humanity was created. And looking upon this creation, looking upon this gift, God says, "Oh, this is good." It's a word spoken before humanity is able to achieve anything. When we baptize young children, we baptize them and give them that same blessing. Oh, child of God, you are beloved. You're beloved not because of anything that you have done, but because of who you are. You are a child of God. You bear the image of God. That's why no matter what scribbles my children show me on the paper. Me, as a father, is going to look at that and say, oh, that's great, honey. Can you draw me another one? The goodness that God declares over you is not an achievement. It is a worthiness of love. And it's a worthiness that you cannot lose. You cannot gain it either. It is not yours to hoard. It does not just belong to you, but it belongs to the person next to you as well. It is wrapped up in the very essence of your humanity. You have been created and called good. And so Jesus is trying to teach this to this man. But he knows that these words are not going to get through because he has goodness in his mind as something that he needs to achieve. And so what Jesus tells him then next, those difficult words, you lack one thing, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. That one thing, all that money, the wealth that he has, the symbol of power that is in his pocket, this ability to achieve, give that away. And when you have nothing, when you can no longer achieve anything, then maybe you'll know that it's not because of anything that you are worthy of love. And Jesus looks at him and loves him. Loves him before he goes away sad. Loves him even if he can't see it. He didn't need to do anything to deserve that love. And neither do we. We spend so much time in our life living in doubt of ourselves, living in doubt of our worthiness, playing the achievement game. Jesus invites us into a different way of life. Live assured of yourselves. Assured of your goodness and freed from that treadmill, from that never-ending fight to prove yourself. But live knowing you are loved, and in the freedom of that, love one another. Amen.